If we're not careful, we will keep pushing responsibility to other people and not taking any of that responsibility on for ourselves. And anytime people push responsibility to you because of their irresponsibility, it burdens other people with extra responsibility. Now, we could say that, you know, that is some of what we're challenged with, right? And I will just say, like, our vote won't fix that. Our vote will not fix that. Like, we all have a role to play and a unique responsibility in how that is leveraged. So that's important, is that we understand that we have this unique, you know, shared contribution. And if you look at that in your own family and you say, you know what, because of somebody else's irresponsibility, I now have this extra responsibility. So you already know what that feels like. In a small setting, right? So let's say that out of all the siblings, you know, you have sole care of maybe one of your parents, you know, you could say, right? Now that could be because you can and you have whatever the means and you're where they are. But I just want you to just take a look at sometimes when we're shifting responsibility, we make somebody else overly responsible. And I think that the school is called to leverage that kind of responsibility and create an equitable distribution of responsibility for what happens here. And I don't mean here in Texas or here in Chicago. I mean here on the planet, yeah, right? Here.
Our environment, our world.
Our world, yeah. You know, so whether you're an Esther that's working on oppression, societal inequalities, whether you're a Moses trying to end oppression and improve the economic status of a people, whether you are a Joseph that's working on financial literacy, financial empowerment. Like, I just want you to see that the scenarios in the book are alive, you know, and we have a responsibility in those while we're here. So,
yeah, because it's like, again, speaking to that quiet voice or that the voice that is always speaking to ourselves when we get quiet, to being mm-hmm. me, being, you know, as you shared before, fully in or fully, what was it? You sharing a story about, I think it was Beyonce. You said,
fully present. The end of her.
Being fully present. And so oftentimes that, you know, in my experience, I have left a place or left the presence of, you know, some period that we spent time with. And as I left, didn't feel fully present because I didn't, I either just kept quiet or just didn't share, deepen up or some things like that. And just mm-hmm. Didn't feel fully present there. And just, I could, you know, really could mm-hmm. offer a voice to that, yeah, mm-hmm. more to that conversation or to that mm-hmm. Meeting. And so, you know, and you do, you know, so it's just so much. Carry back home sometimes. I feel like, oh, I brought this back home when I should have. It's like buying a present for someone mm-hmm. and you left the event without giving them that gift. And like, wow, I forgot to give this to them. So.
That's good. And you are the gift.
Yes, you are, yeah.
You know, and it doesn't matter what your gift is. Every gift is valuable. Every gift is necessary, you know, so.
And sometimes you leave it out. Oh, you see the gifts that somebody else had brought. Like, okay, I'm just going to take it back home.
Home. Yeah, like, ooh. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I didn't have that to give. Mm-hmm. But,
Yeah. And I think maybe one of the final things I'll say about the school and what I believe is the now of the school. So, well, yes, it's about awakening the palate and yes, it's about accountability. How do we stir that and create this collective sense where we're all consciously supporting and contributing to the divine welfare of human beings? I do think what we're called to address is the disparity. And I'll say that because I do think there's a huge disparity. I believe there's been a disparity sometimes between, there's a big gap between the pulpit and the pew sometimes, between, you know, the laity and the minister. And this gap is growing ever wide where people feel like I'm not that, I don't have that, I don't do that, right? And yet Ephesians is really clear. It says all of us are called. So I think we're called to close some of the gap of, you know, the giants, and just create a sense of equity while we understand authority, right? And I think that there's a real balance between that, and it is absolutely possible. The thing I'll say about disparity for me that's personally important is I believe there's a disparity between the promise and its fulfillment that we're called to help you close. Like, I don't know how many of you are waiting on the promise or waiting on something to manifest, or you've just been, you know, waiting on this word to come to pass, or you've been praying. Like, I just, there's so many. And that's what really breaks my heart, because it's been a decade since that word came to you. It's been 12 years since you got that word. And this is crazy, right? Because part of it is, we know the Bible said there's no changing in him. So he doesn't change his mind, you know? He's not flippant about us. He cares about us in the same way every day, beyond the quality of understanding we can ever humanly attain or comprehend. But yet we have this huge gap between what was said of us and how we see ourselves, what was said of us and what is realized about us. And I think that the school can help you close that big disparity. Like, my goal is to see that dream come to pass in your lifetime. My goal is to see the fulfillment of that promise land in you. And I think that's really important. So I think that's some of the, a little bit of
good
the, a little bit about the school. What I will say in our final time, because we're going to do a show and tell of the school, we're going to walk you through some of the, how the classes are a bit of a hybrid, which means there's some asynchronous learning for you to do on your own. There's some learning you'll do in the company of a small group of people. I think I've told you the living labs are places you can come apply, and you have to practice, and you have to put that principle to work. I think those are really important. So we'll share a little bit more about that, because the sound bites for the classes are really small, right? So they're not 90 minute classes. Like, the idea is, you know, our attention span is smaller, and the quality that we want to get from your time is high. So we want to make sure that we've leveraged kind of the right amount. So you'll see a variety of learning modalities, but a variety of learning, maybe durations and styles, whether it's a reflective exercise, all those things. But where I want to take you for the last few minutes is, I want to build on something I said, which is significantly important. And I started talking to you about the difference in consciousness and spiritual consciousness, and why this is an important asset. It's an important part for us to learn. And I said that, you know, consciousness is, if you had to define it, it would simply be awareness of being, right? And you could argue it's the arrangement of mind, which means the things you are conscious of might look really different than the things I am conscious of. That's why certain things make your radar. That's why certain things trigger you. That's why certain things you respond to, because of how your mind is arranged. But that doesn't mean that that's the way your mind has to stay arranged. Okay, so we'll put that pause there. But I will say, if consciousness is, and I gave this example, it is what I currently use on this phone. So this is a Samsung. I won't tell you how old it is, but I will say that it is
still relevant.
It's still relevant. It works. Hello, somebody. But what I use of the phone in my consciousness, we'll say consciousness is what I use the phone currently for. I probably use about 10% of what this phone can do. I know that's a shame, right? Y'all know I'm old school. If you text me twice, I'm probably going to call you. But here's the thing. Spiritual consciousness is all the phone can do. So it's all the other 90% of abilities, operations, capabilities that I am not currently aware that I have at my disposal. Then, to put another pin on that, this phone can be updated so that the optimization of its performance can stay high. That's how spiritual consciousness is, right? Like, the optimization of your performance is at stake. It allows you to tap into ways to use your abilities, intuition, discernment, spiritual comprehension, spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge. Like, it gives you all of that. So this is a subject matter I'm passionate about teaching, right? And what I'll give you today in the time I have is, you can imagine it's like a, it could also be like a radio frequency.
Okay.
Right. So if you've ever been between stations and you can hear somebody singing and somebody doing the news. Yeah. So spiritual consciousness allows you to have a frequency, a signal that gives you access to things that you might not hear on any other station. There's no way in the world, the Bible says, that spiritual things cannot be understood with a natural mind. So you have to understand how important spiritual consciousness is. The example I gave you was the difference between the woman at the well and somebody like Joseph. And I said, the woman at the well understood worship, because she said, hey, they said we should worship over here. She understood the Messiah would come. So she had some some recognition of spiritual truths. She had some level of cognitive awareness, some acknowledgement of principles or truths, but they didn't seep in her life enough to transform her. But then you take somebody like Joseph, right? Who, when Potiphar's wife makes her advances, like he says, look, I'm second in command here. He has entrusted me with all these things. And he begins to lay this case out, even with his brothers. He said, divine providence made you sell me. I don't have any issue with you. I mean, you can hear the maturity. You can hear the spiritual understanding. You can hear how clear he is, how resolved he is. He's forgiven. He's in compassion. He's feeding and preparing food for them to take back. And then he says to her, look, you know, his moral code is in place, right? Because he won't allow his consciousness of who he is and who God says he is and his relationship with God to interfere with how he responds in human conduct and human interaction. So you can hear how that state of consciousness changes how he lives, as opposed to sometimes just having awareness of spiritual principles or awareness of spiritual things, but they don't transform us. So spiritual consciousness to me is a very big subject. And the way I want to, I talked to you about the difference last time, I want to add one more piece to that. And this is a course that will be one of the first out, but I'm just doing some little teasers. If you give me 5 minutes, I just want to lay this down because it's critically important. Okay. It's 10:29. Let's see if I can do it. What I will say is there's a one scripture that says this. It says, we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal. It says, but we look at the things which are not seen, for the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you know that verse? Of course you do. Now, what I need you to get from that today is, and I'm still talking about spiritual consciousness, it says that there are two dimensions. It's clear, right? That there's an eternal and there is a temporal. Let's be really clear. The verse makes that clear. And not only are there two, they are constantly interacting. Right. The other thing the verse says is look at the things which are not seen, which must mean we can. Like if it says look at the things which are not seen, there must be a way to perceive, discern, intuit, have insight of something that is not visible. So it makes it clear that you and I have the capacity to see what is not visible, while we also have the capacity to see what is. Now, follow me. This is important because your spiritual consciousness will change everything. It will change everything. So it says there are two realms. You get that. It says that you can interact and interpret from both, right? You can look at the things which are not seen. Now, I don't think the Bible has anything in there that it does not mean. So if it says you can look at the things which are not seen, you have to ask yourself, what are you looking at? And you remember the story about where Jesus says that you can look at the sky. And you can say it's going to be fair weather, but how good are you at looking at the things that are not readily visible? How good are you at looking at the things that the senses cannot pick up? How good are you at interpreting what is not yet on your sensory awareness, right? But the scripture is clear that you can. Now, why can you? And this is where I'm going to land. It says you can because if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says that God said, hey, look, I'm going to create man in my image and my likeness. And the Bible says God did just that. He created us, right? He created you, created man. But then Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says something else. It says, and God formed the man. Now there's a difference. In Genesis 1, you were created. In Genesis 2, you were formed. What am I saying? I am saying that there are two dimensions in which you were created to interface. One, you were created so that you can see what is not visible. So you can discern, perceive, understand, comprehend what is in that realm of the spirit. And then because you were formed, you also have the ability through your senses to interpret, to interact, to respond to what I'll call a temporal environment, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really important that you hold on to that. There are two dimensions. Oh my gosh, I can interpret, interact with both. It says you can look at the things which are not seen. How can I do that, Dr. V? I can do that because I was created and made. So there's a part of me that is uniquely set up to discern spiritual things, to understand, comprehend, move in spiritual things. And then there's a part of me that is set for the as a terrestrial, right? I get to live, right? And I get to, you know, eat food. There's a part of me that leans into this more temporal environment, but I have the capacity for both. And that's what I'm going to leave you with, right? It's understanding who I am in that way and living a more balanced life in that. Because what Jesus said in Matthew 16 is you have mastered your senses. You've mastered that, right? You can look at all that, and you can tell this and that. But he said, nah, not so much with spiritual things. So it is both an indictment and an invitation. And I believe the school can address that and help you cultivate and nurture a level of spiritual consciousness that will make you aware of things you have no idea, that would make you decide things that you have never contemplated, that would make you have things you've never envisioned. And I believe that. I do believe that. So I will say this because we are closing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving us your time. Thank you for letting me take you over by 3 minutes.
I don't know if Annie, if she knows, saw her hand raised, I didn't know if that was accidental or.
Okay. So if you haven't already given us your email so that you can be invited to the exclusive community, I'll ask you to do that. We'll stay on a few minutes. You can type your email in the chat for us and then you'll get an invitation to join our exclusive community, which is part of what we're doing. We're building the community, making people aware of the school, giving you a little bit of ideas, what the school is about, what it is we believe, how it will function. And we're giving you little teasers of content as we move along.
Yeah, it's just a start. And I mean, the need is great. So,
if you haven't given your email and you'd like more information, please put your email in the chat. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I will say in the chat, if you would like to, if there's a burning question you have, because I'm going to address the questions. If there's a question you want us to answer that we haven't already, by all means, put your question in the chat. We'll be more than happy to answer it. But we probably will get to most of it before the month of October is out. So we'll be here again next Saturday, same time, same channel. Tune in and learn more about Divine Spark, more about what we're doing. Become part of the community. Let us kind of tease you into creating this appetite for spiritual things. We love you. Appreciate your time today. Go and have an incredible.
Miss Annie, see if she had, a hand raised for a while. Annie?
Maybe.
Was there any question?
Hey, Miss, I will say if she's still on. She can. Hey, if you want to put the question in the chat, you can. Since we are out of time, we promised we would close as close to as we promised. But you also can reach out to us, obviously, and we'll try to answer the question to Annie. But by all means, thank you for your time. Leave a question if you want me to answer that. Join us next Saturday. Tap somebody else and tell us, hey, tell them something incredible is happening, and see if you can invite them to join us next Saturday. Again, thank you for your time. It's been wonderful seeing you. Have a blessed remainder of the weekend. We'll see you next Saturday.